311.
And a good Sunday afternoon to you, wherever you are. It's time once again for the 311 Radio Show, where we talk about fire prevention and safety in Barbados with the fire and life safety officers. See, I got it right this time, from the Barbados Fire Service. Usually when you hear the jingle, there's a voice that's very familiar. You hear it all the time. That's fire and life safety officer Natasha Ford. And we also heard last week, we usually hear from Jason Collins, and we also hear from Brother Sobers. We heard him last week. I had to reintroduce myself, or he had to reintroduce himself to me, because I hadn't seen him in a while. Well, before we meet the participants today, because I'm told it's the Three Musketeers, but seem to have a different musketeer when I look on my screen. But I must tell you a story. Earlier this week, on Thursday morning, I saw fire and life safety officer Jason doing what fire officers do, which is in the local parlance, out in a fire. It must have been already done because there was a burnt car by the side of the road. I don't think it was a test. And he was trying to stop the traffic so that the unit could actually get out of the street they were on. So he was doing double duty. I said to him, so I'll talk to you later. He said, no, I'll be on the job. So he's missing this afternoon from the 311 Radio Show lineup. So let's say good afternoon to Brother Sobers, Lady Ford, and there's a third gentleman who will be introduced to you on this afternoon's 311 Radio Show. Good afternoon, lady and gentlemen.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good. This choir works very well on a Sunday afternoon without the choir master. You can introduce your third member of the team because it's a face I have not seen before. And he's also not in the regular uniform of the other two who usually with us on a Sunday afternoon. So good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good. I'll let Natasha introduce you, or would you like to introduce yourself?
Sorry,
he looks to the senior officers, which is a good thing to do. He's following the course well. So have they given you permission to speak?
Yes, he has been given permission to speak.
Permission to speak, sir.
I am Fire Cadet Gibbons.
Amito Gibbons.
Yes, please.
Well, pleased to meet you. And you are a fire cadet.
Yes, sir.
What is a fire cadet? What do you do? What have you done?
I did drills.
Mm-hmm.
I learned about the fire service.
Mm-hmm.
The different appliances. The apparatus used.
Mm-hmm. You've been on this program for how long? You've been working with the fire service for the last...
6 weeks.
What got you interested in this, though?
The job attachment.
Mm-hmm. The job attachment. You wanted to do this, or you were told you have to do this to keep you out of trouble?
I wanted to do it.
Oh, good. What attracted you to the fire service? The uniform, the size of the truck. Natasha looked good in uniform. The guys looked like they were busy and working hard, or that they made a lot of money. Now, there has to be something that motivates you.
This is supposed to be an honest program. It can't be the money.
I will let the cadet answer.
Uniform.
The uniform.
I also helping people.
Has it lived up to your expectations so far, or it's been tough work?
Tough work.
But you're enjoying it?
Yes, please.
Okay. Now, you mentioned ropes, and I'm going to get around to ropes in a minute, because we've had a couple incidents lately where people have fallen into wells and they've had to be pulled out. I'm not sure what apparatus they use because I haven't, been privy to it. But I know one of the things I think I learned back in my youth when I was your age was there was something called a fireman's knot. It was supposed to help you, to lift people up the side of cliffs and mountains and that kind of thing. Did they teach you how to do the fireman's knot?
Yes, it got a different name.
Okay, I'm sure it does. I call it the fireman's knot. But
yeah, there are so many different knots that we use now. It depends on
the situation.
Yes, exactly.
So okay. Tell me some of the knots. Mm-hmm.
You have the figure of the A family. The figure of the eight follow through. You have the clove hitch. You have the bowline.
Chair knot.
Yeah.
Bowline. I remember bowline again from here, from my youth. It comes back to me. But we were talking about knots and saving lives and pulling people out of wells. one of the things that have always fascinated me about this is some of those wells are fairly narrow. And if the person down there is not conscious, what do you guys have to do to try to get them out of there?
If they're not conscious?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, first and first, in establishing scene safety, obviously we have to do a check of the well to make sure that the atmosphere down there is not polluted, that we're going to be sending patients down there into an environment that they won't be able to sustain themselves, okay, although they're still wearing the BA set. And again, yes, that is supposed to provide us with the necessary breathing gases, mm-hmm, that we would require to go into these confined spaces. Mm-hmm. Once that test is done and the air quality is okay, that we can go ahead and effect the rescue, then there's a whole set of things that go into it. We have the setting up of the tripods. According to the depth of the well, as there's something called mechanical advantage. Mm-hmm. There's so many different things that you can use to get persons. If the well is not that deep and you can go ahead and use the normal rescue ladder. Mm-hmm. Well, they will pitch the ladder, go down, get the person out. And of course, now because we have EMTs inside of the Barbados Fire Service, these persons would now go down and they will package the patient. So it's not a case that you're going down there fast and just trying to get the person out in a hurry. You have to also make sure that you do not cause any further damage to that person. So we have things like the stabilization of the
neck.
Yes, first was in the neck to make sure that you don't cause any further injury. If the person needs to be put in a brace on a backboard, send them a backboard, you have to then harness them up on that. So you need to make sure that at all times that you support the deceased point, definitely.
So all these things are passed on. All these things are passed on to the young cadets as well, and those who come along the training program.
Yeah, they do a basic
part of it. Because we have junior fire cadets, we have senior fire cadets. So you learn the basic doing the junior fire cadet. Mm-hmm. And as you go into the senior, you go over the years, you add on piece and piece until you are to the point where you can then be, if you're interested, join the ranks of the Barbados Fire Service and do the full-on training.
Let me ask the cadet this. Are you a junior or are you a senior? Is this your first time or you've been on the program before?
I've been on program before, but it's my second. So I'm a senior.
What? Okay. Was it like moving from the junior ranks to the senior ranks?
It was
more difficult?
It was tough this time because it was online.
Oh, yes. We have COVID to deal with. You miss being the physical contact and actually, you know, getting things in your hand.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask the other question that is on my mind when we talk about safety and the what I call the difficulties that you guys sometimes have to face. When you get called to a fire, I remember you saying, you know, call 311, call 311. Sometimes people ask, why do you ask so many questions? Is there a reason why you need to find out certain things before you respond to a call at 311?
Yes, definitely. As I said, there's a lot of things that people may not understand, but there's always a method to the madness.
Okay.
So, but you give us as much information as possible. You're painting the picture of what is happening before we even get there. Okay. And by you painting that picture, you're telling us what type of fire it is, where it's located, if it has exposures around. So based on that information, the fire officer in dispatch then knows how many persons will be needed, what tools, what equipment, if it may be one appliance, two appliances, three appliances, if it may need a rescue tender, water tanker, even as much as if it is that in the times we're in, now, if it is the water is off in the area, you may need to send on the water tanker. Right. If it is that it's a facility where it holds persons who have COVID or being isolated, all that information, it helps us in terms of when we're responding, we know, okay, all right, this is what we have to do, this is what we're going to expect. And even in terms of having your number, the control room attendant will then call you back to find out what is going on, and then just to verify the call. Is so many things go into that call. So when they ask you for the information, please, yes, you know it's emergency and you may be panicking, or but just know by you providing as much information, it means it reduces the amount of time. Because if we send one appliance to the scene, mm-hmm, and maybe get there, realize, okay, the water is off or it's a house fire, then that's more time because you have to call for another appliance today channel from whatever area it is to get to be seen, as opposed to having both channels simultaneously.
So in other words, scene management and scene size up does not begin when we get on the physical scene. Mm-hmm. It starts from the time that that call comes in, you start to paint that picture. So then, as he said, we know what resources needs to be dispatched and put in place.
I want to encourage you to state that and make sure that the public understands, because there is an incident that happened years ago that has always stuck in my mind. It was not a fire. It was an accident where the person died. It was late one night, just past the Garfield Silver's roundabout. There was an accident on the carriageway coming from the Graham Hall side. It was late at night, but the number of cars that stopped to observe this crash, by the time the first fire tender got there, the rescue tender got there, they couldn't get down the highway. It was blocked. So they were up at the top of the roundabout, you know, with the siren going and nobody would move. So eventually we had to tell, well, I actually ran up and said to the guy, go down the upside because the accident's on that side. So no traffic could get past there. When they got there, they needed a second tender. When the second tender came, it went to the roundabout and did the same thing. Then he moved off and went down to the Graham Hall Inn to try to come up. And he couldn't come up either. And all this while, they were trying to work on the guy. So crowd control on the scene of fires and disasters, you know, it's getting worse. More people are gathering. They're taking pictures now. And it's impeding your ability to get to work and get to work at the scene quickly.
Yeah, and that's why we again ask that, all right, the officers, when they're dispatched there with their mentality and they're thinking we're going into operations for whether it be fire suppression, as I said, whether it be that it be extrication of a victim inside of a vehicle. Mm-hmm. Especially with COVID now, where we're having reduced numbers on the appliances. And when we say appliances, we're not talking about the stove and the microwave and such. We're talking about the trucks. You call them fire trucks, we call them appliances. Mm-hmm. The amount of persons we have on the appliances now, they're four. So when you have to respond to an incident like that, and you have four persons, you have the driver, the NCO, and two other officers. Mm-hmm. The driver is primarily responsible for the vehicle. Mm-hmm. The NCO, that is the person in charge of the scene until further help gets there. So then it leaves just the two other guys to carry out operations. And if you also have to do crowd control, then it means that our resources are not being deployed effectively and efficiently, and it is going to be time consuming. So that's why we normally would ask, or when something comes in, we would normally inform police at the same time that, you know, we have this going, the incident is very near, and ask them to send a unit so that they can help us. If we had a case, like there was a case that they were on scene, they could have done the crowd control. They would have known to tell the officers, if you're approaching, approach from this end or approach. And I mean, even the persons on site, when they saw that, they could have called back to the fire station and said, the road is blocked, tell the officers approach from this end or approach from that end. It doesn't mean that when you call and you give us the incident, that is it. If you see something changing, you can also call us back and notify. And that's where we take numbers. I mean, they're anxious to get the information out and they become kind of hysterical. Some people are in shock and they don't always give you correct information. So when you go, they say, are you looking for this Bronco on the pasta? Mm-hmm. But you ain't seeing. So we ask for landmarks. Right. If you can give us proper landmarks, then it helps us to identify the area. Right. Sometimes you may think that this fire is so big that you're supposed to see the flames and everything, and it's not. You're not seeing it. So then you have to call back, ma'am, where did you say the fire is again? We have officers on scene. They're not seeing it. Can you give us the directions again, or can you come out and so we know exactly where we're supposed to be coming? So it is not a case that we're just being malicious or we're just asking for this information for asking for its sake. But we have a part to play, but you also need to recognize that. And for us to carry out our duties effectively, you also have a part to play by the information that we require.
Yeah.
Young cadet, let me ask you this again. Now that you're a senior, what is it that you would like to see more of as you go through your training? Because you would have gone through the juniors. I know COVID, you said, you know, online is a little more difficult for you. What else would you like to see being done as part of your training with the fire service? You went to a fire yet?
No, please.
Would you like to go to one? Well, they only can take four, so I don't think they can take you along with them yet. But what more would you like to see in your training?
No, fighting first for sure.
You prefer to be health officer? You like to do first aid? What part of this would you like to do more of? The office work? A dispatcher? The person talking to the hysterical lady on the phone? Or the gentleman who's screaming that his son is trapped in the car? Because you have to be very calm when that happens.
More like the infections, like when I'm going to...
I like this gentleman. He's very honest. He's very straightforward. You can't say he's not telling the truth. You know, but how much longer is your training program going to be? Do you know?
It's my last year.
Okay. And then you're coming back as an officer?
I got to finish BCC first.
Okay. And that's... That takes what? The next 2 years?
Well, next year.
Next year? What are you doing at BCC?
Building and civil engineering.
That's going to be needed. After the house destroyed, we're going to have to build it back. And with the hurricanes and storms, freak and otherwise, yeah, we might need you. Don't go anywhere yet. Stay close to Natasha and crew. They will help you. I want to ask Officer Sobers or Officer Ford, we say call 311. Where are we calling? Where are our fire appliances and our fire stations in Barbados? I know the airport for sure. I know the tenders there don't look like anything on the road. They're big and yellow, the ones I've seen. They're not red. I had the opportunity to go there once, where the first thing the guy said to me was, "We don't sit here all day doing nothing, right? Tell the public so, please." I don't know. I don't know why you're laughing. That's the first thing I was told. After I said good morning, I was told, tell the public we don't sit here all day doing nothing, all right? So the fire officers don't sit all day doing nothing at the airport. No, or any other place.
Any other station for that matter.
But where else? Where are our fire stations at the moment?
So as you asked, when you call 311, your call is automatically routed to our dispatch center, which is located currently at the Arch Hall fire station.
Right, know that one.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Arch Hall Fire Station, you also have the Barbados Fire Academy, which is our training unit, also located up there. Okay. So there's the dispatch center, there's the fire station, and there's the training academy. Mm-hmm. From St. Thomas, then, we're moving to Cross St. John. So we're going cross country. Mm-hmm. We have St. John Fire Station, and they do a lot of agricultural work. I know they get some hits for that. St. John responds to a lot of cane and rubbish and grass and all of that. That is something that we have coming on stream. We really will talk about their stations and give the highlights.
Good.
From St. John Station, we move to Worden Fire Station. Mm-hmm. And Worden Fire Station is located for a good landmark close up by Massey. Because persons normally ask Worden, or some people call it Rendezvous Red Fire Station, but it's actually Worden Fire Station.
Correct.
From Worden Fire Station, we have the Bridgetown Fire Station, which would have moved from Provin Street to Prince Road. Right. The Pine.
You show people know what Prince Road is? Okay, right. The
Pine. Right, the Pine.
It's like when you call for the fire. It's when you call for the fire and they say it's on Queen Street. And they go, Queen Street is where again? Right.
Already fine.
Already
and
fine.
Then, of course, we cannot forget, as you said, the airport fire station, definitely. Okay. So with the airport fire station that is located Sewell, Christchurch, if you know where the Paragon base is, if you're going up to the regional police training school, it is up in that lonesome area.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And again, when it comes to the airport fire station, that is a dynamic station in itself. As you said, even the trucks, they're not called appliances, they're not called fire trucks, they're called crash tenders. So they are solely responsible then for the coverage of the Grantley Adams International Airport and with a 1 mile radius within that same vicinity. Okay. Well, our primary media for the water appliances, the bright trucks, as you would say, is water. With those trucks up there, they carry foam and they carry something called dry powder.
Okay.
If you look at the class of fire that they're dealing with up there, It is something that you don't want to see. It is something you do not want to deal with. When you're dealing with gas and jet one fuel and such, no.
Yeah.
That is another class. For those who work up there, kudos to them. Training within the fire department all throughout is like, you have to put in at least 2 hours of training per shift, every shift. So, yes. So we're supposed to keep ourselves well updated with all the techniques that are out there, the new language, whatever it be, we're supposed to keep ourselves updated. We're supposed to be compliant with whatever new standards come on board. So I don't see how people can seem to think that we just sit back and we do nothing, especially when you look at the well rescues, as you would have talked about. So many people recently have been getting into wells. Look at the techniques that these guys use. They can't use the fire ground for training.
Right.
They have to know it. So which means that during downtime, or what you consider to be downtime, they have to be training. They have to be keeping abreast of what's going on.
And for your fighter, it's something that always changes. It's one way today and something happens tomorrow and things change. There always new chemicals. You could go to 10 fires in one day and every single fire is going to be different. It's going to be different. So...
You know, we've had, I must say, there are times when we've been lucky, but there are times when we've had some fires that, to me, would have been great concern. I remember we had fireworks exploding in one case. We had a fire at, I think it was the Bighorn plant, somewhere in Christchurch, which would have dealt with chemicals or foam or that kind of thing.
Two or three occasions, I think, we had that fire, yes.
Yeah, correct. So there are times when people use buildings for storage and you guys are not notified until there is an incident. Or, I mean, we had the case of the Campus Trends where there was this whole question of fire exits and being blocked or no exits in certain places. And last week, you know, we talked about persons putting wrought iron. And by the way, on my way to work this morning, I heard drilling in the neighborhood and the guys were installing, guess what? Yes, wrought iron on the sliding glass doors. So people make changes like this to their businesses or their homes. They do adaptations in the layout of their buildings. Do they consult with you when they do this? I know walking around our studio here, we have fire extinguishers placed in various places, but do you go into offices and ask that you train the health and safety officers in the use of these fire extinguishers, checking to make sure that they're working, that people know how to work them, that regular offices with more than, I mean, now we got COVID, there are fewer people, but drills so that people understand. I'm looking at Officer Sobers straight when I say this, because I think I made a notorious, I don't know if you know Brother Sobers, but I quoted in the newspaper that a certain Natasha Ford said they were trying to evacuate a building and somebody was playing solitaire. And I said so on air. And apparently the officer concerned got a lot of calls. So let me apologize to the officer
for making a notorious. I'm not going to cover when people are out there doing nonsense, putting their life at risk, and by extension, them putting our life at risk.
Yeah. Why am I starting your but let me go back to the question. Do you go into offices and do you, you know, ask people, do you have health and safety officers? Can they tell us what your procedure is and try to guide them in the right direction? Don't tell me that people say they put it on the notice board. Then people don't raise notice boards. I would like for you to travel with us one of these days.
I'm hoping that it would be possible so that
I would love to do it.
That what we do out there, and I'm going to speak to our chief about it to see if it can be arranged.
I would love to see it. Yeah.
Thank you. But yes, that is definitely one of the things that we do whenever we go do inspection. And it doesn't even start with the inspection. When persons call, making queries, we always ask them, do you have a safety committee? And not only are we asking these questions, but we also relate it back to the law. Because the Safety and Health at Work Act stipulates that you must have these things. You must have persons who are trained in the use of fire protection equipment on duty at all times. So even if you're using shifts, whoever is in those shifts, the person on duty must know how to use those extinguishers.
Good.
You're also required to carry out drills. Persons are to be oriented once they come into the organization? Yes, what their duties are, what the plan is, and we also about an emergency action plan, which is a life document that states to you what is supposed to happen, who are the persons responsible for this and that. If some person has to leave the organization, automatically that's why it's a life document. Some person else who's trained fills that role. Everybody's supposed to know who's the contact person in case of a fire, who you're supposed to call, in case of robbery, who you're supposed to call. If some person gets cut, it has protocols in there, what you're supposed to do. But I find that some persons are very relaxed. Let me choose my words carefully. Very relaxed, and they don't want to take up the job of doing what they're supposed to do. They don't want to put these things in place. They will call the fire department and they want us to prepare it for them. No, okay. We will give you guidance. We will give you a template if we have to, but the emphasis is on you to take these things into consideration.
This is regardless of the size of the operations, because, you know, people say, I run a small operation. I have a small entity. But when you go in there, I mean, we've done outside broadcasts, so we go into places, right? And some of them, when you look at where things are stored, how they're stored, even doing the broadcast, where people have to walk around, you know, boxes and crates and things stacked in the corner. And sometimes sitting behind these crates and boxes are extension wires, that may become frayed, chairs that roll over wires, and you don't realize it's frayed until you hear something, or, you know, the screen in front of you goes blank and you say, is the plug out? And when you look, you realize, no, it's the wire that's frayed. Sometimes there are wires on the carpets. So
sometimes there are about 6 or 7 electrical extensions plugged into other extensions. Yes. Sometimes there are about 3 or 4 multi-strip outlets.
So it's not the size of the organization. It's not whether I have 3 people or 20 people or 50 people.
Absolutely not. At the end of the day, small houses, small businesses burn, big houses burn, big organizations burn. And I think we've become too complacent and we've become too careless in our thinking that this can happen to me because they only have 1 or 2 persons working here. We have persons who live in a house alone and the house lights up in flames. So what is to stop your organization if you're not following proper protocol, or you don't have good housekeeping practices from that building going up in flames? You go into businesses and you see electrical outlets, persons with the tablet charger or the cell phone charger into the electrical outlets. There's no cell phone connected, but instead of taking the plug out of the outlet, you just take your phone or the charger off. Electricity is still flowing through there. And I keep saying to persons, when you look at the majority of the chargers in some cases, you won't have to went through World War VI.
All the wiring,
and then you have it lying among papers. Yeah. You go in some offices, there's boxes of papers. You have the papers, you have files.
You got the paint, the thinners, you got everything together.
Everything together?
Clorox, everything put together, and you plug right there, everything.
And you guys, how these people work in this environment.
Wow. You're frightened the cadets.
Doing it day in, day out. And you know, on top of that, there's the dust. There's this level of dust. If you had to do the white glove test, I mean, it really does not speak high, because all of this contributes when there is a fire. We talk about good housekeeping practices. If you take, and I mean, a simple example is a telephone directory. If you take a telephone directory and you try to, you put a, what's it called?
A lighter.
Yeah.
Yes. Under it and try to burn it in its natural state, how it was created, you find that it doesn't sustain combustion. It doesn't burn. But take those leaves and tear them out and then do the same thing again, and you will find that the fire just, it goes. So then you have a working fire, and basically it is the same thing within our environment. That's why we ask persons, keep the flammables away from the combustibles.
Apparently they don't know the difference.
Tightly stacked together, it makes it more difficult for it to sustain combustion.
Officer Ford, I do like your suggestion that we, you know, take a trip with you to see some of the things you do, perhaps even just look at your drills, look at the cadets training either on the job or via Zoom. You guys must really be tired seeing screens and people's faces, right? You would prefer to see some actual bodies, but It's the environment we're in, my friend, and we make the best of it. It's good to have you along with us this afternoon. I urge you to stay with your chosen professions. And, you know, who knows? The life's ahead of you. You may find something else that piques your interest, but what you learn on this, you'll never lose. So keep steady, keep learning, and I look forward to chatting to you again sometime in the future. And let me thank you for sharing with us this afternoon. Is the choir ready to say your usual goodbye to the folks? Fire prevention?
Fire prevention is our intention.
And we'll always will be. Have a good afternoon, all. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Depend on the Barbados Fire Service 311.